Well, happy Homecoming Sunday. Whether you've been away or you've been here every week, whether you're part of the St. Mark's diaspora, or if this is your first Sunday here, we are glad that you are here today. This cathedral was built to be a house of prayer for all people, and today we celebrate the ways our common life takes shape in Ministry Sunday, in the array of ministries that arise in and from this place. I hope you'll stay on afterwards and greet some of the different ministries and get to know them a bit more. The point is that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. The occasion of homecoming has prompted a good deal of thought for me this week about, well, coming home. I suppose because I spent much more time away this summer than I normally do. I rarely take vacation in July or August because, well, why leave the Pacific Northwest at this time of year, right? But after a month in Britain in July and August, serving on pilgrimages, first in Scotland, then England, when Kathy and I returned home to the deanery a few weeks ago, I was greeted by three mammoth sunflowers we had planted back in the spring. They had begun as seed starts, and then we planted them in May as heliotropes that would do their thing with the sun. And when we left town in July, they were no more than 2 or 3 feet high, gangly but hopeful in their green adolescence. We asked a teenager down the street to keep things watered. Well, we weren't sure if that was really going to happen. Letting go was part of the work of pilgrimage, right? But he did, masterfully, actually, so that when we returned home, we were greeted by three sturdy sunflower stalks 10 feet tall, with glorious heads about this big, yellow and brown, facing east but drooping because of the weight of their plump seed heads. It was a gift to us coming home. Eliciting their gift to us was just a reaction of sheer joy and awe at the transformation that they had had while we were away. The sunflowers had invited consideration of our own transformation in that time. It's so hard in quotidian installments of daily life to measure the transformative experience, right? But homecoming is a time to take stock of the changes in our spiritual lives as individuals and as community. So I would say again, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. But I would ask you, where are you on your spiritual journey? Years ago, James Fowler wrote a book entitled Stages of Faith, in which he posited a few rather profound things that have shaped my understanding of ministry in my own life, my understanding of the spiritual journey, and by extension, it has shaped the way that I see my role in envisioning the spiritual life of a community such as this. And so on this Homecoming Sunday, as we take stock of our common life and we celebrate together, I would like to suggest a framework for us to engage the question, where are we? Where are you? And first, I have to say that I believe to the bedrock of my bones that I am utterly convinced that all human beings are hardwired to have faith. We innately have an urge and an inclination to orient to something larger than ourselves. But to be sure, faith in this sense is not necessarily religious or necessarily about a specific belief system. Rather, faith is a person's way of making sense of life, a system of values, rituals, practices, images that help one orient to that which gives meaning but always in the context of something larger than oneself. Now, Fowler suggests faith is more a verb than a noun. It is the actionable discovery of spiritual meaning that shapes the way we live and move and have our being. So if we take it that way, it's more than creedal statements. It's even more than coming to a particular place for an hour on a Sunday morning. It is the roadmap for the whole of life, whether we are aware of that roadmap or not. It is the universal phenomenon of the human condition to have faith, faith in something. But that does not mean that we all do it in the same way or on the same timeline. Fowler offers the science of developmental psychology and physiology to support his theory that there are stages of faith in this human life, and that we begin with an affiliative, imitative faith in childhood, which mimics those whom we trust in their faith systems, and we don't really bother questioning the rhythms that come with that. So we look to our parents and to our teachers, maybe to priests and politicians and celebrities. There's a lot of danger in that list of people, right? But we look to those people in this affiliative stage as perhaps the loci of authority because their directives make sense to us until they don't make sense to us. And then he suggests that the next stage is adolescence, an adolescent stage of faith, which is a time of questioning that authority, breaking down the affiliative faith, deconstructing it to reconstruct the one faith that the person can make sense of and move forward with. Now, at this point, I should say that these stages are not age-specific. Some people go through the entirety of life never really needing to question their affiliative faith or to leave it behind. That doesn't make them less faithful, but it may create challenges when those in authority do not measure up or when they foul up, as they inevitably do. It can be a very disorienting time when that happens. It prompts a crisis of faith. We all have them, no matter what stage of faith we may be in. Others may get stuck in a skeptical mistrust of all authority and cannot seem to break through into a new realm in which they can own something for themselves. It's just always pushing against the institutional authority of something else out there. But the point is, friends, that hitting a crisis in any stage of faith can prompt a wilderness experience, that sense of being lost, bewildered, scared, disoriented. And here's the truth, friends. None of us get out of this life without these crises of faith. They may last only briefly, or they may last for years. Jesus' parable about the lost sheep in the gospel this morning is really about a shepherd who is there in the wilderness experience with you, welcoming you back home, searching relentlessly for you, calling you by name. It's about the shepherd, but the story is predicated on the notion of being lost. The Greek word translated as lost in this passage is actually a verb, not a noun. It's a verb with dual meanings. It can either mean misplacing something, I've lost my keys, but it also can mean, perhaps more poignantly, experiencing or causing destruction such that something is lost. In the wilderness times of life, in that raw reality of being spiritually lost that we all experience at one point or another in our lives, how often do we take on destructive attachments or addictions as a way of trying to make sense? But it never makes sense. This spiritual journey is an invitation to lifelong patience. You can't rush to the exit door in a spiritual crisis. It is an invitation to lifelong patience, a willingness to unfold into a new understanding of your faith, a less anxious faith in which the meaning we seek is found in the unifying consciousness of cosmic connection. It's in the connection that we find our way through. It's what Teresa of Avila says. It's when you're willing to let go of your egocentric worldview and yield into a radical union with God and all of creation and find that as the place of interconnected, utter joy. That is the place where metaphor and paradox and ambiguity no longer present stumbling blocks spiritually, but they become the prisms to see deeply, deeply into the meaning of life. Now, I want you to hear from me, friends. Hear this above all else. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, the shepherd is there with you, calling you to come home. This is the relentless call of a God of grace who promises that nothing in all creation, not you, not me, not a single atom in creation, is ever really separated from the love of God in Christ. That is the bedrock core of our faith that we share here in this place. It is eternal, unwavering, and universally given promise to all of creation, including you and me. And so this place, this house of prayer, has 80-some-odd ministries. This community, those ministries take shape, take form in all sorts of shape, but they are all designed with that eternal truth of God's love and presence in mind. If they are not designed with that, they will not last. And we ought to just hang it up and close the doors and go home. But I believe they are formed with that in mind. Every ministry here, every ministry is guided by a homecoming sense of connection and community, which are the guideposts that help us make our way on the journey. So on this day, this homecoming Sunday, I would ask you once again, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I would say once more, friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. Welcome home. Amen.